Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as usual, I have wonderful news for you. And you know, the older that I get and the days keep going and going, I'm absolutely amazed at how wonderful it is to be alive and how wonderful it is to know this thing that we call God and to use it daily in our lives. And I use God. Remember, I said many times, God is mighty. We all know that God is mighty, but God is also useful. So use God. We have an expression which says, your life is in divine right order. Your life becomes in divine right order when you turn all your little problems and so forth over to this thing that we call God. And you don't worry about different things. I feel about something. For the first time in about 2 years, I decided I'd ride my bike down the beach. Now, I left after 11 o'clock. Now, I have a friend who says to me, in L.A., if you get anything, do it before 11, because if you don't, everyone is out, everything is taken, and all the parking spaces and so forth. So I'm going to take my bike to Venice Beach. Now, I have a particular place in Venice Beach where I always park, because there's a big tree there and it shades my car all day long. And I've been using that space forever and a day, but I hadn't used it in 2 years. So on the way out, my mind is saying, oh, well, that'll be taken. They probably tore down the house. The tree's probably gone by now. It's 2 years. You know how this stuff goes. And now it's Lake Dallas and you're not going to find a parking space and all this. I said, no, that's my parking space. Everything will work fine. I turned down that street, and the cars were parked except under that tree. I pulled right in and parked, and I've been using that. I used it before for at least 8 or 10 years. I've been using that space, but I hadn't used it in 2 years. Still there, tree gorgeous, shade all day. This is how you use this. This is how you use it, by knowing that that can happen for you. So, you know, during the month of August, we decided that we're going to, or I decided that we're going to, learn how to talk to this thing that we call God. To learn the language and the correct language to use so that you can get what you want out of life. So we started the month with emotion, and we decided that there were only two basic emotions that humans have. And then there's a variety of little things in between there, but the main two emotions are always going to be love, and the other one is going to be fear, or whatever you happen to think the opposite of love is. Then there's different gradations of all that. So in order for you to have your life work and to be able to talk to this thing called God, first of all, you have to have that emotion of love going inside of you all the time, or most of the time, so that when you're out driving, when you're out doing something, you're not saying, oh, that idiot, and this and that and the other thing. You keep love going for everybody. To look around, you have to realize that we're all connected. That's another reason why this always works, because we're all connected. But you have to look around and know that everyone is doing the very best they know how to do. Everyone is doing the very best they know how to do. We may not think it's good enough, but we're not them. We are not them. So we don't criticize them, we just look at them. If they ask for help, we can give them help, or they can watch us and see and get ideas and so forth. But we don't say, oh, you idiot, and you're this and you're that and the other thing going on. So you watch what's going on in your mind, and you see how your mind is working. I'll tell you another cute story now, just remember, about how you're watching. Because the whole idea in life is to become a witness to your own thinking, so that you can change that thinking, and to realize that you are not your thinking, and you are not your thoughts. You are much more than any of that. So anyway, on the bike ride, I stopped at a place where they were doing hang gliding, and I was watching. Two people on a bicycle were going by, and the one said, the moron. And my mind said, somebody just called me a moron. Why would somebody call me a moron? Why would I said, they didn't call, they just used the word moron, and they were writing, but I never saw them before in my life. They weren't doing it. But your mind grabs those things. And you know, if you hear something, you say, oh, they called me a moron. They didn't call me a moron. But I watched my mind take that word moron and try to make me think that they were talking about me. And they weren't talking about me at all. Who knows? But you have to watch what your mind will do to you. You know, especially in traffic, your mind will say, why did they cut me off? Why did they do that? And you take all that stuff personally. And you get mad and so forth. You can't take it personally. That person didn't mean to cut you off. You know, you just have to say, oh, thank God they didn't hit me. You know, and you go on about it. So anyway, we have to keep that emotion going, that emotion of love going all the time inside of us. We have to learn to love ourselves in order to keep that emotion going. Everyone wants to find love outside of themselves. You're not going to find love outside of you. You're going to find outside of you whatever is inside of you. So if you're looking for love because you think that you don't have love, when you get that person, you're not going to have love because you picked a person that doesn't have love inside of them either, you see. So build up the love inside of you, you know. You have to become the person that you want to meet. You have to become the person that you want to be in that relationship. But you do that from the inside. You keep that emotion going. So this emotion of love we're talking about is inside of you. So with that, you have to know what? Not only that you're a wonderful human being, you have to know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. You have to know those things. See? And then you can keep that emotion going, that emotion of love. Then if somebody calls you a moron or something, you can say, oh, they're talking about somebody else. It couldn't be me, because I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. So they can't be talking to me. They must. See, you have to be able to have that so that your mind tells you that instead of your mind agreeing when somebody walks by and says moron, your mind says, oh yeah, that's right, you are. Okay, you know, you can't do that to yourself. But when you keep this emotion of love going and this whole idea that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, then that's the foundation always, and it's always going to be. In any situation that you're in, you have to go back to that. And as soon as you realize that you matter, things change. Things will change immediately. If people are picking on you, whatever they're doing, as soon as you realize, well, I matter in this case, things will change for you. Things will change for you. So, always, always, it's going to be an inside job. And we're always going to be working with what's going on the inside of us. And we're not used to doing that because we're always projecting on the outside of us, and we're always making judgments, and we're always perceiving something on the outside of us. And it's our perceptions that get us into trouble. And it's not only perceptions that always gets us into trouble. It's lack of knowledge that gets us into trouble. How many times has somebody been angry here at somebody else because you didn't hear the whole story? And as soon as you heard the whole story, it cleared the whole thing up. But you just wasted all that time being angry for nothing because you used the wrong information. It's always find out the right information. Find out what's going on before you let your mind build a story up. You see? Now, if your mind's building that story up, your mind's building that story up about everything. So can you see now why we say that you're living on the inside of life? Your life is what's going on the inside. And it's just being reflected on the outside of life. So if you look outside of your life, you're looking at a reflection. It won't help you. You have to correct it here, inside. And then a different reflection comes, you see. but it has to start with that basic emotion. And the most wonderful thing, if you know that there's only two emotions, love and fear, you always have a choice in your life. Which one am I going to choose? Which one am I going to choose? Always choose love. The outside world chooses fear every time. We live in a fear-based society. We are afraid of everything. And advertising makes us fearful of everything. That's how they sell something to you, by saying you have to have this to protect yourself. You have to have this because of this, this, and this. And they instill fear in you. And that fear then, you say, oh, well, okay, I'll buy that to protect myself. But if you really loved yourself and put that love out and knew that everyone else was having the emotion of love, then there's no fear. Then there's no fear whatsoever. You see? No fear. The other thing, when I parked that car in Venice Beach under that beautiful tree and had that shade all day, my keys were in there all day long. I leave the keys there. And I also, people say, oh, you don't need the bike rack on, do you? I said, oh, I certainly do. I'm not about ready to take that thing off and on all the time. You know, you can't, because that's fear-based. All that is fear-based. Don't stay in this thing of fear all the time. If you want to learn the language to be able to talk to this thing that we call God, you have to start with that first thing, an emotion of love. And you have to love yourself, and you have to love life, and you have to love all life and affirm all life. You see? How many people here are thankful for their life every day? Yes, you have to be thankful every day for your life. Did I see your hand go up, Carol? No. And we want
I your, said that
every other day. Every You have to get your hand to go up. It's very important. Why are you here? Why are you alive if you don't love being alive? You see, you have to have that affirmation going on inside of you all the time. That affirmation, I am alive, and I am affirming life. If you don't get up every morning and affirm life, things start to dwindle. Things start to dwindle. You have to affirm life, and then the love, and your life, and how you like yourself. And then you get that emotion going. But it starts inside of you, and inside of me, it starts inside of everybody. We have to know that we're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. And with that, let's do the matter dance.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Yay. For the newcomer, it sounds a little silly, doesn't it? But it absolutely works. And not only does it work, oh no, I just put that. Not only does it absolutely work, it's absolutely necessary. It is absolutely necessary in your life to know that you matter. There's no sense going through life if you think, oh, well, I don't matter. You're always going to matter, but you have to learn to matter to yourself. You matter to this thing that we call God. This thing that we call God would be incomplete without you. That's how much you matter. So you have to know that you matter. And regardless of all that stuff that's going on outside there, don't do it. I think Billy Graham died. Did he? Yeah, I think he died. I only saw the man every once in a while during his crusades and when he was a much younger man and so forth. But they were doing an interview with Billy Graham. Now, I knew that he was an evangelist. Other than that, I also remember, I think it was my father always called him a Bible thumper because he was always thumping the Bible, you know, it says here in the Bible. But what I, the little bio of him, what I heard was, and it was from his mouth, they asked, because he went to Clinton after Clinton was in trouble, you know, and being impeached and all. And he went to Hillary. And they said he was the most non-judgmental person they knew. Mm-hmm. He never brought up that. And he talked him in, and Hillary said, he was the one who taught me how to forgive. Mm-hmm. Who taught me how to forgive. So regardless of what the man stood for, knowing that he taught people how to forgive is a wonderful thing, a wonderful gift. And he also, Billy from his own mouth said, humans are frail, so why should I, because they make a transgression, why would I judge them for that? And that's one thing to try to remember in your life. You know, we never hate the sinner. We hate the sin that they've done, you see. You don't hate the act, or you don't hate the actor, you hate the act that they did, you know. But you don't hate people, what they did and their behavior. You don't hate that either, but you may not approve of it. But you have to separate the sin from the sinner. And apparently Billy Graham was able to do that. But he taught forgiveness. And that is one thing that you'll learn in life. Learn to forgive. And sometimes you have to learn to forgive minute by minute and day by day, because things just keep coming at you. But you have to forgive. If you don't, there's your underlying emotion of love isn't there. You see? Love always cancels out everything. Love cancels out everything. So when you love yourself, it takes care of everything for you. It just does it that way. So anyway, the other thing that we're learning to do during the month of August, I always try to remember that this thing we call God is an it. It is something that we cannot name. Exactly. We don't know exactly what God is. And we will never know exactly what God is. But we know enough to be able to use God. So we're going to look at God now as a big computer, as technology. How many people here have a computer? Okay. How many people here can run that computer? Can do every program on that computer? Use that in your way how to do something. You see? God is the same way. God has everything like a computer. Can do anything. But we have to put in the right program. We have to push the right buttons and so forth in order to get what we want. And that's what many of us have never learned to do. Because we have learned to go to God in fear. We've learned to go to God in reverence. We've learned to go to God in all kinds of things. And we always have learned to go to God pleading for something. So now we're going to learn that we don't have to plead for things. God doesn't want you on your knees pleading for things. I don't know where that came from. So let's look. The first technology we have now is the choice that we have between love and fear. So we have that step one. Tonight we're doing feelings. So we have to get a feeling. And we have to, in that feeling, we have to be able to know that what we're asking for is already done. What you're asking for is absolutely possible. You see, what happens, most people think that something isn't possible, so they never ask for it. But we know in the mind of God, all things are possible. You see, we're always living in a field of all possibilities. And we're the ones that are learning which possibility we want. It's our choices that bring the possibility to us that we want. So we choose the possibility that we want. Then we have the emotion of love going with us. And now we add feeling on top of that. And how will it feel How will it feel when we get what we want? How will we feel? How will we see ourselves? What will we do in that time? Then, when that's done, you have to start living that. You have to start living that. Months and months ago, I said, you must live at your level of demonstration. The demonstration that you want to come into your life, the manifestation that you want to come into your life, you must live after the treatment, after you talk to this thing called God. Then you must know that that's already done, and you must start acting as if it were done right here and right now. And you must have that feeling. How will it feel when I have this? You see? Now you have emotion and feeling going. And things will start happening. This whole idea of feelings. We all have feelings. And we stuff those feelings all the time. Because we were taught as children, don't show your emotions. Don't show your feelings. Don't do this. Don't do that. Now we have to relearn sometimes. How do I feel about something? It took me years to be able to say, well, this is how I feel. Because I never really trusted my feelings. Because when I was a child, they would say, how do you feel? And I would say, I feel this way. And they would say, no, you don't. I gave up feeling, and I gave up when I thought, that's a trick question. I'm not going to answer it any longer. And I just stopped answering it. But I also stopped feeling things. We have to be able to feel things. Feelings are the life of the organism. In every instance, it's always going to be your feelings that are making your life. It's going to be your feelings that are doing that. How do you feel about something? What kind of an energy can you build and make it go? You see? And you get that. You have to realize that your whole body is thinking, that your whole body is alive, that it's not only going to be here in the head. You want every cell of your body to be absolutely enveloped in love and in feeling. How are you feeling about it, you see? Now, they've done many demonstrations. They know perfectly well that our DNA absolutely changes things. Not only can we change our DNA changes things. If we sit in a peaceful state, in a loving state, our DNA changes and the surrounding changes. What is around us changes. And you've seen this many times. That's why we say, I am a peacemaker. Become a peacemaker. So that if you walk into a room of confusion, a room of arguing, if you are a peacemaker and you sit in peace, that goes out from you. And you will be able to calm that peace, that riot down or whatever it is. You will be able to do that. Because we absolutely have that power. A Russian scientist was able to do that in the laboratory. He took a DNA, he put it in with light protons, and he discovered, which were random, just running around with a little piece of DNA in there, they all formed a pattern. Became harmonious with each other from that DNA. So they know that there's a field there. You see, we don't have to know how God operates. We just have to know how to operate God. Everyone who just raised their hand and said about the computer, you may be able to run that computer, but you couldn't build one probably, unless you're a computer person. So you don't have to. In order to have a miracle, you do not have to know how that miracle comes about. You just have to know that you can have a miracle. And we can have miracles in our life again. You know, we read about it 2,000 years ago. Everyone was having these miracles. Every once in a while you hear about a miracle. And I remember I told you about Catherine Coleman. Catherine Coleman was a evangelist minister also. She always stood up and said, I believe in miracles. And she got many miracles. We have to start realizing that we can do that. It's not something from our past. Miracles, why do we have the miracles? Why aren't we performing the miracles that they did in biblical times? Because we have lost the technology, how to do it. We don't know the technology. So we can't get the thing that we want from God till we learn the technology again. Now the technology was lost, but not really, because all Aborigine tribes, it seems to me, have it. And I know the Indians in North America here have it. They knew how to do something. They knew how to talk to the Great Spirit, because they knew that they were one with the Great Spirit, and they knew that it responded to them. It responded to how they were feeling. It responded to that underlying emotion of love, the reverence that they had for everything in their life, the reverence that they had for it, and the blessing that they gave everything, you see. When they went out hunting, they only killed what they needed. And they always blessed it. And they always did dance. And they always did everything. And then they ate to nourish themselves. But they knew that they were taking life to give life. But they were reverent about it. All that stuff is passed out of most of our culture today. We don't do that. How many people here pray before dinner or before a meal anymore? Or give a little say, thank you, I'm glad I had this food to eat. You see, all things come from this one thing that we call God. So we have to be thankful for everything that we get. So you stay in that atmosphere inside of you of love and thanksgiving and forgiving. Very healing physically. It heals also. You see, resurrection is always going on inside of you. Always going on. While you're sitting there, your cells are splitting. They're multiplying. They're making more of themselves. Other ones are going away. But resurrection is always happening inside of you. So you have to say to yourself, if it's an inside job and everything happens on the inside, now, what thought atmosphere am I allowing these cells to be born into? Do I have an emotion of love, or do I have an emotion of fear? If you have an emotion of fear, and your cells are born into that emotion, now you have fearful cells in your body. You have fearful cells in your body. So think about that. What is going on the inside of me? How is my thinking? Do you allow only thoughts that heal, bless, and prosper you into your mind? You see, they must heal you, they must bless you, and they must prosper you. Otherwise, what good are the thoughts? What good are they? Most thoughts that we think are absolutely unnecessary. We don't need to think them. You see, and most of them aren't true. Most of them aren't true. So think of that every day, what's going on, and that you're alive inside there, and all these wonderful cells are being born inside of you. So you want to have a good thought atmosphere and a good atmosphere inside of you for them to prosper, for them to thrive, you see. And that's the other thing in life. Most people, if you ask them, they just want to survive. And we hear that all the time. I'm trying to survive, and this is survive. Who wants to survive? You have to learn how to thrive, not just survive. Survive means I'm just getting by. I'm just getting by the skin of my teeth. Now, this thing called God does not want that either. Why would God make these beautiful people, these beautiful humans, this beautiful earth, and then say, now, get out there and just get by. Just get by. No. We want to learn how to thrive. We want to learn how to thrive. We want to know that we are completely connected to this thing that we call God, and that we use the technology of emotions, feelings, and next week's topic is thought. When we have the three of them going, we can manifest or demonstrate what we want in life. But we have to give up some of the old ideas that we have about God, some of the ideas that we learned from other people. And we have to start doing that ourselves. We have to start acting for ourselves. Talking about the computer and about this thing, God, many people want somebody else, like a priest or an in-between person, to be there to talk to God and so forth. Learn to do that yourself. You know, the drugstores here, CVS drugstores. I had no idea what CVS stood for, but my cousin was on the telephone with me, and I said, since I know that he's from Virginia and they're in Virginia, I said, Dennis, what does that stand for? He said, I don't know, but I'll find out. The next time I called him, I said, what do they stand for? He said, Citizens Value Stores. I said, oh, how did you find that out? He said, I used Google. You see, I could have used Google. The point is, we're always asking somebody else for something that we can do ourselves. And we're asking somebody else to pray to God and to make sure that everything is all right with God. Everything is always going to be all right with God. Learn to approach God your way. Learn to make God your best friend. Learn to be able to talk to God, to say, I hope that parking space is still there. I want that parking space. And know that it's going to be there for you, and that your life is going to unfold that way. Use it in all the things that you're doing, you see. This thing, this concept of God, has been around since day one. So therefore, we have to believe that there is a God. Or, the smart little people that we are, we have figured out that there wasn't. But we haven't been able to do that. So therefore, we have to say, oh, God does exist. And we can use God. And God wants to give us things. And wants to make our lives wonderful. So why aren't our lives wonderful? Because we've never been able to pray correctly or to talk to this thing called God. Sometimes we get what we want, sometimes we don't. But it cannot be a hit and miss thing. It has to work all the time. The same way when you press the program on your computer, it does the same thing every time if you do it correctly. And that's what we have to learn about God. But we have been taught so many wrong things about God. And if people in the different religions, if these religions worked, the world would be wonderful by now. Think about it. They all profess peace on earth. Every religion wants peace on earth. But what are they doing to get it? Nothing. Because here again, they're living on the outside of life. And they're saying, that's the way life is. We've always done it this way. We've always had this. Therefore, it's going to continue. No, it doesn't have to continue. The thing is, what we're doing now with what we see, because it's in race mind or man's consciousness, it's a conclusion and it's one possibility that we have come up with. You see, it's one possibility. Now, if we know that we live in a field of all possibilities, with our choices, we can choose something different. We can choose something different. And we can make that, whatever we choose, a reality.
If most of us here are used to praying to God by pleading and that. And so we're going to try to start doing it a different way and expect that we're going to get what we want. My question is, how do you deal with when you're expecting to get what you want, but you don't get what you want, how do you deal with that?
Well, how you deal with that is you go within and you say, "What I must have done something not correct. Was my emotion correct? Was my feeling correct? Were my thoughts correct?" Because you have to have the three going. That's a trinity. They all must be in entrainment with each other. And what happens when we say we want something? We haven't hit all three when we don't get it. And when you think about that, people say, "Oh, I'm disappointed." Well, they're only disappointed for a moment, because as soon as they realize, "Oh my goodness, now I see why I didn't get that. Now I see why I didn't get that." I have a client who works for Disney. She got a new job, and she couldn't figure out why her old boss gave her to the new gig, let her go. But she got a job within the company. And then one day it dawned on her. She said, "I hate to be around actors." And that's what he had in his office all the time. Actors dropping in. Now where she is, no actors drop in. Took her because she wanted this. Why would God do this to me? Why did this happen to me? And you see, it was one little thing that she didn't like to be around actors. It finally dawned on her why she lost that job. There's always going to be a reason. You don't have to look for it and dig up everything and so forth. But you have to say, I must have done something incorrect here. I'm going to correct it. You know, don't you do that sometimes on the computer? You do something and didn't do right. You make it. You can make it. You just use it again.
Isn't it normal in a way? Because last week I'm not going to get into a story. Just last week I had a lot of opportunity, and it had been the first time in a long time. Long story short, I was saying to myself, I'm nervous, but I kept saying in my head, "But you deserve to feel fine. So if you're nervous, just still use it. You're still worthy, and you still are totally lovable." I mean, I had to literally, be so literal.
Yes,
and of course. And make being nervous to rise to the occasion not like it was a sin. But so I was, because I was going, "Am I sabotaging myself?" And I said, "No, I'm nervous. It's like going on stage."
Yes. Yes. So instead of saying, when you feel nervousness, you don't say, "I am nervous." You say, "I'm calm, cool, collected, and poised in all situations. Calm, cool, collected, and poised in all situations." You see. Now, you still go do what you want, and the nervousness will go away. But you have to argue with your mind like you did. You see. I had to with the moron. Had to argue with my mind. We're always going to have to argue with our mind. And we have to make sure that we win every time. Because we are not our mind. And we are not our nervousness. You see. Nervousness usually is some type of fear going on. You see. So, when you know that, sit right down like you did and start loving yourself. And love yourself right out of it.
Yeah.
And then did the situation, whatever, work out for you?
I don't know, but I know that I did well.
That's it. And that's what all you have to ever know. All you ever have to do is your very best. The best that you can do. Most people do not do the best that they can do. If you did the very best that you can do, doesn't mean the very best that I can do. It means the very best that you can do. You have not given in to your mind. Any time that you fall short of doing something, you have given in to your mind who says you can't do it. You can never give in to your mind. Don't do it. You are not your mind. You had a question.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes isn't it the name tag you put on an emotion? Like, nervousness has a negative connotation.
Yes.
But you could just call that excitement.
Jitters.
And, it, and it's like a totally different thing.
Right. Or
so you can still own that you have a lot of energy in your body, but it's excitement to do something, to create or whatever, as opposed to something that's holding you back because you might fail.
Right. She could have used the word enthusiasm.
Okay.
And still... that would have gotten through. Remember, words structure thought. Words structure thought. And feeling always follows thought. So, when you can correct all that, you'll do it. So we want to learn how to approach this thing that we call God so that we can get what we want. So that we don't think that we're victims anymore. That we're always going to be victorious in everything that we do. You see, the world wants to tell you that you're a victim. You are not a victim. Don't ever think of yourself as a victim. Think of yourself as victorious. Know that you have this thing behind you called God, which is more powerful than anything. More powerful than anything, any situation, any condition that can be put in front of you. You have to remember that. And whatever situation you're in now, remember that is only one possibility. Choose a different possibility. When you choose a different possibility, you choose a completely different future for yourself. When you choose a different possibility. But somebody will say, I'm in this situation. And they look at that situation and they say, it's going to lead me right there. Well, yes, it is going to lead you right there. But you don't have to go right there. You see, you can choose a different possibility. We're writing our lives as we go. Why don't you write the end? See, start at the end. It's already done. Start at the end. I'm already a success. I already have everything that I want. Make that your ending. Aha! Now, let's move towards that. You see how it works? Very easy. So we're going to be able to do this. All right, a few things here. Our body is the feedback mechanism mirroring to us the quality of our choices of thought, feeling, emotion, breath, nutrients, and movement, and our honoring of life. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Look at your body. Our body is the feedback mechanism. Mirroring to us the quality of our choices of thought, feeling, emotion, breath, nutrients, and movement, and our honoring of life. We have to honor life. We have to do these things. And our body reflects those things. Our body will always reflect those things. These are inside jobs. So look at yourself and see what's going on. You know, say, oh, I can change that. Here's a completely new and different possibility. Completely new and different possibility. You could choose a new possibility anytime you want. You just don't know that. So why don't you choose a new possibility for yourself so that you can run again, so that you can do the things you want. See yourself. Didn't we do that once before?
Mm-hmm.
Seeing yourself running and all. Do you see yourself running? You see yourself at a different weight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, keep doing that. And change all your thoughts and your emotions and your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to start here and move out there. It's all that's the way it works. Our prayers come to life as we focus upon the feeling of our heart's desire rather than the thought of our knowing world. Did you get that one? Our prayers come to life as we focus upon the feeling of our heart's desire rather than the thought of our knowing world. Because the thought of the knowing world is going to say, that can't be done. You can't feel that. You can't have that. You can't make that much money. That's what's going on in the thought atmosphere that you're living in. But you have to go to your heart's desire. And you have to keep that and know it's that desire that's going to do it for you. Not what's going on out there and not all the stuff that people are telling you that you can't do. You have to know that you can do it. The key to choosing one outcome from among many possible outcomes is the ability to feel as if our choice has already come to pass. How many times have we said that? You have to start with the idea that it is already done, that you already have what you want, you see. But we don't do that sometimes, do we? We keep saying we don't have. We're waiting for something. We're waiting. Don't wait. Know that you have it now. Then start living as if that were so. That does not mean that you run out and spend money and use credit cards that you don't have. It means you get a feeling and an emotion and a thought that this is it. And you keep those three working in your life. You see? Let me read this again. The key to choosing one outcome from among many possibilities is our ability to feel as if our choice has already come to pass. Already come to pass. So all the possibilities that are in front of you, choose the one you want. And then act as if it were done. As if it were already so. And it will be so. But you and I are the ones who have to do that. We have to do that. From the Essenes, and we were spelling that the other night, and it's E-S-S-E-N-E, Essene. From the Essenes' perspective, as we sense, perceive, and express ourselves throughout our day, we are in constant prayer. Remember, Paul said, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. So listen, from the Essenes' perspective, as we sense, perceive, and express ourselves throughout our day, we are in constant prayer. So are you loving yourself every moment of every day? That's praying. Are you thinking great thoughts, good thoughts? That's praying. That's praying. It doesn't mean all of it. No. What's going on in here? What are you thinking about? That's prayer. That's prayer. And you're connected to this thing. You know, you have to realize when you think, God thinks. Because there's only one mind. We're all using the mind of God. We may be individualized expressions of God. I shouldn't say maybe. We are individualized expressions of God. And we're all using just one mind, the mind of God. If we each had a different mind, we would not be able to see each other. Because I can see you and you can see me and we can all see the table. Tells us that there's only one mind. If there was another mind, we wouldn't see that. We would see something else. Okay. So when you know that you're using this mind of God, and it's all filled with nothing but possibilities, and that this mind wants to do everything for you, then use it. Use it for yourself. Is there anyone in here still afraid of God? Don't be afraid of God. There's nothing. People would like you to think, oh, God's going to send down lightning bolts or whatever. think God sent down. God doesn't send that stuff down, honestly. To create in our world, we must first have the feelings of our creation already fulfilled. To create in our world, we must first have the feelings of our creation already fulfilled. It's coming from feeling. How will you feel? How do you feel with the demonstration done? What excitement, what love, what is going on inside of you? What is going on inside of you? That's going to be a connection for you. And we say that all the time, don't we? To create in our world, we must first have the feelings. Wasn't it Emmett Fox in the mental equivalent? You must have warmth of feelings to make a demonstration. Warmth of feelings. It's not only the thought. It's when the head and the heart connect that you make a demonstration. We have been taught to live in our minds, here in our head, for so long that we forget that this heart also thinks. And they have proven that the heart has a small brain in it, and that brain thinks. You can look that up. Hartman did that. Now, here. This is also from the Essenes. First shall the Son of Man seek peace within his own body. For his body is a mountain pond that reflects the sun when it is still and clear. When it is full of mud and stones, it reflects nothing. Now you can use that in your own daily thing. Think of yourself and think of your mind as that mountain pond. And what is being reflected? Because what's being reflected is what you're going to see on the outside of life. But if your mind, this pond, is muddy and loaded with stones, meaning all kinds of negativity, all kinds of judgment, all kinds of unforgivingness. Now, that is what's going to be reflected. That's what's going to be reflected. We can all learn to think differently. We can do that. And we must learn to think differently about ourselves. We must start to hold ourselves in the highest of esteem, to realize how wonderful we are, how wonderful we are. Does everyone here realize that never before and never again will there be anyone like you? There was never anyone like you before, and there will never be anyone like you again. You are a unique, individualized expression of God. And that's why you're called the rarest of the rare. You're the rarest of the rare. You're actually unicorns, each and every one of us, because there's only one of us. We look out and we judge and we say there's many, you see, but there's only one. And it's always going to come down to there's only one, you see. Only ever going to be one. So know that about yourself and know how great you can be. A lady, Marianne Williamson, remember, she said, we're not afraid of how weak we are, we're afraid of how powerful we are. We are afraid sometimes to use our power. We're afraid to use God because, my goodness, what if it really did work and we got everything we wanted? Now we'd have to give up all these stories that we told of how pitiful poor we were. You know, we'd have to get off the pity pot, you see. And some people do not want to do that because they're very attached to the stories of their life. And I want to tell you, they're just stories. They're just stories. Give them up. See yourself as always whole and complete and perfect. See yourself as worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And know that you're wonderful. You have to know that you're wonderful every moment of every day. Do that for yourself. It's wonderful. So are you. So am I. And therein's the lesson. Thank you.